part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Fuck the shit. Fuck the fucking shit. Fuck shit.
All right, you know what that means. It's AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is the heavy metal part of the part three episode. And I don't know what the
episode
fuck
72, part three, the heavy
that's
metal episode.
Right. Fuck yeah.
And that's Sons of Butcher, John.
That's right, again. And like I said, they're coming out with a new album called Meatlantis. I can't wait. What the fuck was that noise, man?
That's me sipping a brewski. Trying to get rid of my headache.
Your headache from what?
From pronouncing tetanus wrong. Tetanus.
What the fuck is tetanus? What the fuck is a tetanus? You sounded like the Pope.
Speaking of the Pope, John, not of the Pope, but of Catholics and the Pope, I guess, so we could be speaking of that. Before we get to bashing the W, the Mark Foley, now this guy, you know him, right? He's the congressman who resigned last month
camp.
After his sexually explicit emails to young male pages surfaced.
He fingered my ass when I was a Cub Scout.
Did he?
No.
Oh. So anyway, the congressman, he resigned, John. Mark Foley, he resigned.
He did? Why'd he do that?
Right after he resigned, he went into rehab because he's an alcoholic, John. So that's what made him
nut job.
And then if that wasn't believable enough, he fingered a priest and said that the priest molested him when he was younger.
No.
Yes. So that he did name the priest, and the priest came forward.
He's
and
Italian,
he said,
the priest, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, the priest acknowledged Thursday that he used to go naked in saunas with Mark Foley decades ago when the former congressman was a boy in Florida, but denied that the two had sex, John.
Oh.
Well, kind of denies it here. Well, I'll get into a little bit of the story here. The Reverend Anthony Marsicchia, 72, speaking by telephone from his home on the Maltese island of Gozo, said a report in the Sarasota Herald Tribune about their relationship was exaggerated, John. We were friends who trusted each other as brothers and loved each other as brothers. He said, asked if their relationship was sexual in nature, the priest replied, it wasn't. A Roman Catholic priest said he had an inappropriate two-year relationship with former Representative Mark Foley in the 60s that included, but not limited to, massaging the boy in the nude. But he did not specifically remember having sex.
Scott, that's just being over-friendly.
Well, he can't specifically remember if he had sex or not.
I'm not sure if I stuck my Schwantz in his ass.
The paper reported Marsicchia said that there was one night, John, one night when he was in a drug-induced stupor.
And I tripped, and it
and
just
there was
in.
An incident. And there was an incident, but he couldn't clearly remember.
I
was taking the pills, John.
I
have
pills.
To confess, I was going through a nervous breakdown.
The newspaper reported Marquia saying, from his home on the island of Gozo,
I was taking pills, a tranquilizer. I used to take them all the time. They affected my mind just a little bit, John.
Oh, and Foley's defense lawyer?
Yeah.
His name is David Roth.
Yeah?
Yeah, like David Lee Roth, man, of Van Halen. No doubt.
It's Diamond Dave, man!
David!
I like the way the line runs up the back of the stocking. No, 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 no. Don't take them off. Leave them on.
Marcikia, 72, said that he and Foley became fast friends when he moved there from Brazil.
Class dismissed!
Marcikia said he taught Foley some wrong things related to sex.
What is a priest? Is the priest supposed to teach you anything?
Specific about what I meant.
I want to take you in the ass.
He said at the time he reported the considered the relationship innocent, but now he says he can see how his actions could be called inappropriate.
Wow.
I wish him well. Let the bygones be the bygones, John. That's his final words. All right, then.
Bygones.
The bygones. The bygones. All right, let's get into the W's. I know you brought some W's clips
the
in.
The W's. Oh, yeah, man. No doubt. The W. This fucking guy.
The Commander and Chimp.
Commander and Chimp. I like that, man. That should be like a cartoon. You know, on the Cartoon Network.
I know what
the
cartoons Commander. Are, yeah.
You know what they are?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, this is a clip of the W talking to George Stephanopoulos today about... George wants to know from George if he's read any of the books about him. And here's what the W has to say.
You said at your press conference last week you joked about all the books being written about your administration.
Yeah.
Have you read any of them?
No.
Why not?
You know, I don't know. I haven't read the bad ones. I haven't read the good ones. I guess it makes me, it's kind of weird to be reading books about yourself when you're still trying to be the president.
Trying to be.
I really haven't.
How do you explain, though, how Bob Woodward, who's written now three
read
books.
The book.
I know, but he's written three books about your presidency.
Well, I didn't read any of them.
None of them, even when they were lauded.
George, I didn't read. I have not read one book about me. I've read a lot of books this year, but not one about myself. You know, I feel uncomfortable reading about myself. It's hard for you to relate, I think. But I'm still in the midst of my presidency, and people are writing books about my presidency. It is so myopic in many ways. The true history of my presidency will not be reflected until way after I'm gone.
But you don't think there's anything you could learn from these books in real time?
No.
Yeah, the thing I stepped on there is the correct history can't be written now, John. It's got to be written long after he's gone.
Yeah.
That's when we'll really know how super duper the Commander and Chimp has been these last 6 years. That's when we're going to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Not now. And he said, you know, I really don't like reading. And you could stop it right there.
Yeah.
End, period, about myself.
I don't like reading.
He doesn't like reading, period. And that crap about he read a whole bunch of other books, he didn't read shit.
Yeah.
This guy couldn't get through a Dick and Jane book. I think one of the books we brought in and read, didn't we? What was it called? I forget.
It was Julius, or My Name is Julius.
Yeah, My Name is Julius.
Not a big gorilla.
Ugh. It's a bunch of crap.
I think when he says myopic, isn't he making fun of like an eye disorder?
I don't know.
That kids have, isn't it myopia or some shit like that?
I don't know. Who knows? It's a big word. I don't know. Myopic.
I thought it
myopic.
Was
myopic. Maybe it's like a biopic. Myopic.
No. Let's look it up here. What do we got? Myopia, a condition in which the visual images come to a focus in front of the retina of the eye, resulting especially in defective vision of distant objects.
Okay, so what he's saying is
a lack of foresight or discernment, a narrow view of something. So there's two.
Oh, two, and he's probably taking the second definition. Yeah. A narrow view.
Yeah.
Very narrow.
I think it's kind of myopic when you think about it. He's starting to get that sound almost, isn't he? Idiot. Well, then later on during the show, Stephanopoulos asks him about staying the course, and Bush says, "Hey, man, no, it's never been about staying the course. I never said that." And here's what he says.
James Baker says that he's looking for something between cutting them and stay the course.
Well, we've never been stay the course, George. We will complete the mission. We will do our job and help achieve the goal, but we're constantly adjusting to tactics.
And that's
constantly.
Never been stay the course.
Never been. We've never been stay the course, John.
Yet this last August, he said,
We will stay the course. We will help this young Iraqi democracy succeed.
And then last August.
Wait a minute. You got to stay with that clip.
All right.
Was he pulling a Schwanz out of his mouth at the beginning of this clip? Listen to it again.
It could be.
We will stay the course. We will help this young Iraqi democracy succeed.
Maybe it's him in this.
Harder and harder. Like that. Let me help.
Wait, what does she say? Does she say rub my hump? No, here, listen.
Harder and harder. Like that. Let me help.
We will stay the course. We will help this young Iraqi democracy succeed.
To what? To seed?
To seed.
Ah.
We will stay the course. We will help this young Iraqi democracy succeed.
To exceed what? What the? Yeah, and then Stephanopoulos,
James Baker
says
that he's looking for something between cutting them and stay the course.
We've never been stay the course.
We've never been stay
the course, John.
But last August, he said,
we will stay the course. We will complete the job in Iraq. And the job is this. We will help the Iraqis develop a democracy. The process of writing a constitution, which will be ratified in October, and then they will elect a permanent government.
Is this fucking chimp? What the hell is he? Is he a flip-flopper?
It never ceases to amaze me, John. We've been saying for over a year that this guy is completely overwhelmed. That he has no idea what is happening. And he keeps surprising us. Every week he keeps surprising us. With stupidity.
Oh, man. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Well, I got another clip of Bill Maher, who you don't like anymore,
I guess.
Yeah,
I don't like him anymore.
I like him. I think he's really pompous and snotty, but I think that's his shtick.
His shtick.
You know, he's an angry Jew. So he comes on a show and he does the new rules.
And
this one, he's talking about these two think tanks. One of them's my favorite, the Project for the New American Century. For anybody who's listening, and tell all your friends about the Project for the New American Century. It's the think tank that was made up by people like Wolfowitz, and the main founding members are Dick Cheney. And they're all about this, you know, changing and new world order kind of thing, taking over the world, pushing our form of democracy on everybody. And one of their mission statements at the very end, they talk about the only way we can take over Iraq and start, you know, working over the Middle East is to get American support for us to have a war over there. And it ain't going to happen for a long time, unless a major disaster happens like
Pearl Harbor,
right? And what do we get? September 11th. They tied it to that over and over again. But anyways, he's talking about the think tanks and where they come up with their shit. So here it is.
And finally, new rule in two parts. A, you can't call yourself a think tank if all your ideas are stupid. And B, if you're someone from one of the think tanks that dreamed up the Iraq War and who predicted that we'd be greeted as liberators and that we wouldn't need a lot of troops and that Iraqi oil would pay for the war, that the WMDs would be found, that the looting wasn't problematic, that the mission was accomplished, that the insurgency was in its last throes, that things would get better after the people voted, after the government was formed, after we got Saddam, after we got his kids, after we got Zarqawi, and that the whole bloody mess wouldn't turn into a civil war, you have to stop making predictions.
No doubt.
Have they been right about anything?
Nothing.
Anything.
Absolutely nothing.
That's why when the W and Cheney say that the GOP is going to maintain their hold on the Congress after these elections, we're guaranteed that the Democrats are going to...
It's doomsday.
Take over.
It's doomsday.
Doomsday.
If they don't... well, yeah, I mean, they're. I see what you're saying. It's the backward...
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sean Hannity.
I know Sean Hannity.
He's from the Goebbels Network. He's another one of those fucking idiots. He's the one who said that Clinton banged, what's her name, when she was 19.
Yeah.
And he was comparing Foley, who's trying to bang
16-year-olds.
16-year-old boys, is part of the legislation against pedophiles.
Spit it out!
I know.
What's your fucking
point? All right. Anyway. Anyway, this is what he had to say about voters this coming election.
Now, one other thing here. You know what? I think some of you need to stay home on election day. What? That's right. I know it sounds terrible. I don't want everybody to vote. I want well-informed people to vote. But I think, I think you've got to accept, and I want you to stay home on election day because you must accept the fact that your party has abandoned you. You've got to accept the fact that your vote doesn't matter anyway. So all you Democrats, stay home. So, you know, why don't you stay home on election day? This is how the press is going to report this. Hannity says Democrats should stay home on election day.
Isn't that what he just said?
But he's part of the press. And see, that's the thing. He's not part of the press. He knows he's not a part of the press. He's a part of the propaganda.
Right.
And he knows the real press is going to report him for what he is. A fucking idiot.
A fraud.
A fraud.
A lunatic.
An apologist. Kiss
but yeah,
ass.
The war's going so good. The 3,000th death toll for coalition military forces in Iraq, according to a CNN tally, just recently happened this week.
You want to talk about progress in Iraq, John?
You
want
got
to talk?
Some?
Yeah,
what do you
yeah
got?
I got 3 years. 3 years, John, after the U.S. invasion. Electricity levels in Baghdad are at an all-time low.
Wow.
3 years after. Residents of Baghdad are receiving just 2.4 hours of electricity this month.
Oh, my God.
In a month, they get 2 hours and 20 minutes of electricity, John, compared to an average of 16 to 24 hours of electricity before the U.S. invasion. The lowest level prior to this month was 3.9 hours a day.
Well, didn't Dumsfeld say that just recently, hey, man, it takes a long time, you know? I guess you're forgetting the history. But he was the first guy to say, oh, yeah, it's good. Maybe it'll take 6 weeks. I don't even think 6 months.
Yeah.
But we'll be done 3 years later. And now they're saying it's another Vietnam.
And the people just keep buying it. You know, last week we talked about 35% of the people don't even know how much, what the fuck, I can't remember what they don't know. But it correlated to the approval rating of the W.
Right.
And we just have to accept the fact that 35% of the American population
are idiots.
Is almost, yeah, and maybe clinically retarded.
Well, you know, Penn Jillette said one day, he was talking with Lawrence O'Donnell Jr., and he was talking about that he thinks people should not vote unless there's absolutely somebody they really want to vote for. And I think he's right to a point, but the problem is with that is that if you don't vote, you keep getting this 35% that do vote, and they keep voting the same idiots back in office. Now, I agree, there's just as many idiots on the other side, but they're idiots that are going to argue with each other, and I would rather have a lame duck government for the next 2 years than more of the same old bullshit.
No doubt.
Yeah, sure, the W will finally figure out where his veto pen is, but great, they'll just go back and forth and waste more time, and we'll be left alone.
Yeah, they won't tarnish the Constitution and take more of our rights away.
Well, that just happened this week, as a matter of fact.
This week, John.
President Bush signed the Military Commissions Act of 2006 in the Rose Garden, a bill that will not grant detainees legal counsel. Also, it specifically bars detainees from filing habeas corpus petitions challenging their detentions in federal courts. The new law sets the stage for what many analysts believe will be yet another historic showdown between the courts, the president, and Congress. With the FBI... Oh, no, sorry. Another story. But anyways, habeas corpus. The entire Constitution is based on habeas corpus, which is basically you get to view your evidence. You get to fight against your evidence. I saw yesterday...
Habeas corpus, Latin for show me the body, John.
Show me the body of evidence. That's right. Show it to me.
I used to use that as a pickup line when I was a bachelor.
Hey, baby. Habeas corpus. I saw a really great Star Trek yesterday.
Did?
Yeah, one of the old ones with James T. Kirk. Bones, Scotty Spock.
Yeah?
Jim, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. It's a patient. Cure it. Anyway, so Kirk is up on charges because he jettisoned a pod with a one of his ensigns or captains or second, I don't know what he was. He jettisoned this pod, supposedly, and it killed the guy. So the daughter was all pissed off, and they brought him to court, and they were going to court-martial him. And they said because he had an argument with them back in the academy, there was always this resentment. So instead of issuing the red alert and then jettisoning the pod, he issued a yellow alert and then he jettisoned the pod. Well, they viewed the computer and they said the computer doesn't lie. They brought Spock in to verify that and all that stuff. And then Spock started playing chess with the computer and realized that he was able to beat the computer 5 out of like 35 times that he played. But the way he set it up was that it would only be a draw every time because he set it up with his own logic, set up the computer with his own logic programming.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that somebody must have tampered with it. And the only 3 people that could have was this guy who got jettisoned, Kirk, or Spock. So they went into the court and they start fighting about it. And Kirk's attorney says, wait a minute. We have cross-examined every person, every human being, but we have not been able to cross-examine the evidence. You're saying that the computer is above human freedom, and that's wrong. So we need to cross-examine the computer, and that's what they did.
And the correlation to the story is?
I don't know.
All right, then. That's outstanding. Outstanding segue.
I just said you basically got to be able to cross-examine your own evidence.
A computer.
The habeas corpus.
Hello, computer. Here's the thing about it.
No, what they're saying is basically, rely solely on the FBI, the government, the intelligence, CIA, and they're the ones that are going to make all the right decisions. And the reason why we had habeas corpus in the first place was to keep government out of it.
And
government,
to get our peers involved.
That's right. It's ridiculous.
And here's the thing. Right now, I can call up whoever. I can call a hotline. And say, yeah, that John from TTN, I think he has some relationship with, and they grab you, and that's it.
You're done.
You don't know what it's about.
Nope.
You don't know what the charges are, and you never will. You'll just be detained.
Never.
The other thing about this is, right after that Bush signed this bill, the Justice Department, John, sent a letter to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, asserting the new authorities informing the court that it no longer had jurisdiction over a combined habeas case, which had been under consideration since 2004. So all these guys in Gitmo had like a class action habeas corpus thing going on, right?
Gitmo.
Because they want to say, hey, I want to know what I'm being charged with. I've been sitting here for 3 fucking years. No, that gets thrown out too.
Unbelievable.
It's invalid. All these cases are now invalid because of this law that was just signed in.
It's so fucked up.
So, and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, we need this to fight terror and fuck them terrorists, them airheads.
Well, they won. By doing shit like that, the terrorists have won. They've completed their mission. And this is the shit I try to tell people that are big W lovers. I don't mind if they want to watch me shower naked, like my uncle said. I said, what are you, crazy? You're just saying the terrorists won. We got to change the way we live because some fucking idiots crashed into some buildings. They're going to do it again. They're going to blow up a dirty bomb. They're going to, you know, Cheney keeps coming on and saying, hey, man, since 9/11, you know, we're over there in Iraq. And because we're in Iraq, there has not been a single terrorist attack on the U.S. soil. Okay. And your point being that you're saying there never will be one because of that? What about the fact that you cut and ran from Afghanistan? That rhymes, by the way.
Which is now a terrorist state.
Totally. It's totally fucked up. The reasoning is so ass backwards. Hey, man, it's better we fight them over there than over here. I disagree, man. Bring them on. I say bring them on.
Well, habeas corpus has been suspended three times prior, but it was temporary. It wasn't like this permanent crap.
Right.
And the three times that it was are look back.
Who did it? Adams did it once.
Ulysses S. Grant did it.
Yeah.
And they did it in World War II. That's when they sent all the Japanese Americans
to internment camps.
And each one is like a black eye on the history of America. And Bush keeps talking about the history. Well, you can't write books about me now. You got to wait 100 years to see what a total fuck up I am. And that's what they're going to write.
That is one big pile of shit.
Unbelievable.
And it's just a goddamn joke. And it reminds me of the Nazis. And I can't remember the phrase, but first they came for the Jews and I didn't say anything. Then they came for the homosexuals and I didn't say anything. And then they came for me, and I had nobody to say anything to.
Yep. Oops. Unbelievable.
All right, let me get that. Hold on.
All right, can you get that?
Yeah.
Dude. All right. Hurry up.
All right, man. Shit.
Why do you walk the same speed every time?
What, do you want me to run? Hey, man.
All right.
Come on.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, you're pretty quick, man.
I am quick. I'm quick getting back. I take like three strides to fill every first stride. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I like take a big leap to every one of his steps, of Phil's steps. Gentlemen. That's right, Phil.
Come on.
Phil
sit
McCracken
down, for Christ's sake.
Whitcomb. Hey, we're not supposed to mention the Vonafin thing, right?
Right, right, okay. Right. Ixnay.
Ixnay on the Onafin Vay.
Oh. You know, Rumsfeld, the top U.S. general, defended the leadership of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Ronald Dumsfeld saying... it is inspired by God. He leads in a way that the good Lord tells him is best for our country, said Marine General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Rumsfeld is a man whose patriotism, focus, energy, drive is exceeded by no one else I know. Quite simply, he works harder than anybody else in our building.
Yeah, and that's just spin. He works harder, but stupider.
Yeah.
Okay, the guy works hard, but if it's stupid, there's no value. What's the value add? I'm going to talk in business terms now, John. What is the value add? You know, when you're talking about a B2B or a BD, you have value add. You work hard, you work smart.
Yeah.
The smarter you work, the less hard you have to.
Well, this general says we're lucky as a nation that he continues to serve with such passion.
Who is this
and
a-hole?
Such integrity and such determination and such brilliance.
Is this some guy who just got a promotion to general? Because all the generals are saying that this guy's a fucking idiot.
I'm sorry, that was by Navy Admiral James.
Oh, a Navy Admiral.
Stavridis,
right.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. These people are stupid asses. They're mental.
And the other thing, Scott, we passed 300 mil in the U.S.
Yeah.
300 million people.
It's the third time we've mentioned it on our show. But go ahead. Do you have anything to add?
We did not mention that we passed it. We passed it on Monday or Tuesday.
I don't think. I think it was earlier than
Monday
or Tuesday.
I do have something to add. Because of that, we represent 5% of the world's population.
That's it?
Just 5%, yet we consume 25% of the world's energy.
Oh, that's hot, man.
Well, yeah, 25%.
Yeah. That's why they hate us.
Who's
I was thinking about that. The Taliban.
Ubiquitous
and
they?
And the Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda. I was thinking about the 300 million mark, John.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, being in the top 0.001% of the American population, is there any category that you're, I think, as far as drumming, you're in the top, I got to do some quick math here. Hold on. 300 million, so 0.001. Yeah, I'll have to do this and bring it in next time.
Scott's scientific survey. Scott goes economics on us.
As far as drummers in America, you're Jesus like in the top 0.001% of the American population.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow.
So I thought guitar, no, there's like a ton of better guitars than me, or bass, bass. Yeah, I don't think I fall into the 0.001%.
I don't know, maybe.
Of anything.
How do you know I do?
I've heard you, and I've heard other drummers.
Oh, thanks, man.
My man. Yeah.
That sounds
you know what? Hey, how about this? Top 0.001% of podcasters.
Right.
Right. That's right.
Netcasters, I thought we were now. But,
You're right. Net webcasters, netcasters.
All right, Phil, you ready?
Yes, of course, John.
All right, you got 8 minutes.
I was sipping on my light beer.
Excuse me.
I just came from a Mexican eatery.
Oh, great.
Yes, I had the burrito. I like to hold the beans, though, John. Hold the beans.
Yeah, I know. That's brutal. You all right in there, Phil? Why are you in the toilet?
Oh!
That's a gnarly bean fart,
that
man.
Is. That's brutal.
All right, you ready to go?
I'm ready when you are.
What was that?
I'm not sure. I'm looking over my first story. I'm not sure if I should do it or not.
All right. We ready? Okay.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Our first story tonight. Cracker Barrel seems to be appropriately named. Cracker Barrel. When they deny non-crackers from being served, non-crackers decide to go next door to monkeys in a barrel.
What?
Civil rights activist Al Sharpton and Rose Rock, the mother of comedian Chris Rock, will announce Wednesday that they may file a lawsuit against Cracker Barrel for refusing to serve black customers. The action stems from a May 2006 incident at the Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, Cracker Barrel restaurant. Rock said she and her daughter refused service. Oh, Rachel Nordlinger, a spokesman for Sharpton, told ABC News complaints to the restaurant management and to the South Carolina Human Affairs Commission were not acted on.
Wow.
Rock, Sharpton, and members of Sharpton's National Action Network plan to announce their intention to fund a lawsuit, John. I'm really struggling here tonight. In front of the Merrill's Inlet Cracker Barrel, where Rock alleges the incident took place. Next story, John. Wisconsin man charged in stadium threat hoax.
Really? That burrito's coming up, you know what I'm saying? Let me start over.
Wisconsin man charged in stadium threat hoax. If he's not a Packer yet, he soon will be.
Oh.
Next story, John. Turkey Bits Festival, Turkey Bullocks Festival, and Turkey Spidey Norman Festival don't slide off the tongue as well as aptly named Turkey Testicle Festival.
Oh, God.
Debate is finally over, and the controversial festival gets to keep its name, John. Members of the Fort Myers Beach Town Council voted 4-1 to not change the name of the Turkey Testicle Festival. Many people who were in attendance of the meeting say it was possible, possibly the most entertaining meeting. what's going on? my tongue can't keep up with my lips, John. Entertaining meeting that I've ever been to. But while the whole room was chuckling through most of the meeting, Councilman Gar Reynolds did not find it amusing. Reynolds asked the festival's organizers to drop the word testicle from the name. If you need to call it Tom Turkey Festival, that would indicate it's a male turkey, said Reynolds. The Testicle Festival is held at the Surf Club on Fort Myers Beach. Last year, the festival raised $3,000 for the Harry Chapin Food Bank. The rule is, if you give a donation, you get to try a turkey testicle. Next story, John. This is a math quiz. If three boys leave the train station at 60 miles an hour traveling west, how many will end up having sex with their teacher? A grand jury has indicted a former Wayne County math teacher, accused her of having a sexual relationship with three boys. 41-year-old Karen Susan Patton faces 4 counts of carnal knowledge, 2 counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and 1 count of crimes against nature. The former Scout Memorial Middle School teacher is accused of having sex with one of her 13-year-old students. She also faces charges of allegedly molesting 2 other 13-year-old boys. Her trial is scheduled for March. Next story, John.
Harder, push harder. My back. Let me help.
New evolutionary theory shows men's willies will get bigger. Women's boobies will get perter.
Perter?
By the year 3000, the average human will be 6.5 feet tall, have coffee-colored skin, and live for 120 years, research predicts. And the good news does not end there, John. Blokes will be chuffed to learn their willies will get bigger, and women's boobies will become more pert. But there is also a downside. The study suggests we will be more prone to disease and physically weaker because of our increasing reliance on technology.
Giant dicks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Next story, John. This is a poetry headline. Roses are red and my isatwad is sore. Ken Blackwell is a son of a bitch, not to mention a political whore.
Oh.
Fountain Square Management Monday expressed regret over personal attacks at the foul language of the verse that poet Nikki Giovanni recited at Saturday's reopening of the square.
Giovanni.
Cincinnati Center City Development Corp. That's a mouthful. And as the nationally recognized poet who grew up in the Lincoln Heights for something that would deliver a positive, uplifting message with the importance of Cincinnatians reconnecting with one another. The early draft that Giovanni provided didn't include the lines that some found offensive. The final version of Giovanni's poem, written for the event entitled I Am Cincinnati, referred to Ken Blackwell, the Republican candidate for Ohio governor, as a son of a bitch, and alluded to him as a political whore, drawing gasps and applause from the onlookers. When contacted, Giovanni said she had thought she was submitting her poem to Punky's Poetry Corner. Next story, John. Experts say it's time to drink sewage.
Ugh.
In related news, those of you who already drink Old Style can ignore this PSA. Britain should tackle future droughts by recycling more sewage effluent is drinking water, civil engineers say.
Won't you get tetanus?
In its state of the nation. I wouldn't know that's funny, John. I just got here. In its State of the Nation report for 2006, the institution of civil servitors also called for a 20% increase in water prices, John. But Water UK, which represents the water companies, attacked the sensationalism in the report. The southeast of England was in the grip of water shortages for over the summer, with one company enforcing a drought order controlling use of water, and the number of others enforcing enforcing hose pipe bans.
Hose
John.
A pipe.
Hose a pipe. Next story, John.
Tetanus.
Canadian government considers permitting bar patrons to take their drinks to bathroom to avoid date rape Mickey's.
Date rape.
Look out for the date rape.
Canadian government considers permitting bar patrons to take their drinks to bathroom to avoid date rape Mickey's. After a complaint was filed by Jude Law. Preston Buttons and TWW available, available for comment. Next story, John.
Oh, no.
A judge dismissed an incident. A judge dismissed an indecent exposure charge against a woman accused of disrobing in front of her 14-year-old, not her, I'm sorry. I'm really screwing this one up. Not her 14-year-old boy, a 14-year-old boy. She disrobed in front of a 14-year-old boy, saying the law only applies to men. So the judge dismissed an incident of indecent exposure. Superior Court Judge Robert W. Armstrong was earlier in the week that the law only mentioned someone who exposes his person. It's gender-specific, Armstrong said. He dismissed the misdemeanor charge against Alex Luis Garcia of Corona, who was cited in May after parents of a neighborhood boy said she showed him full frontal nudity as he played basketball. Prosecutors said the decision to throw out the case will be appealed because another section of state law says that words used in the masculine gender include the feminine and neuter. Norton said Garcia had complained that the 14-year-old was making too much noise while playing basketball. She went out on her sun deck.
Oi, oi!
He looked up at her and she looked down at him and she disrobed, Norton contended. The boy ran inside and told his parents, who complained to Garcia. She threatened to do it every time he played basketball. And the parents called police. Next story, John. A Wilmington, North Carolina man was charged with shoplifting after police arrested him for trying to leave a local grocery store with $45 worth of steaks stuffed in his pants.
Really?
Man, who the fuck just steals a monkey?
R. Roy C. Ward was charged with shoplifting under 1,000 at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Food Lion in Kings Highway. The store manager stopped Ward as he tried to exit the store after seeing him put several steaks down his pants. While at the meat case, the suspect told police he gave the steaks back and wanted to pay for them. The report said, when officers arrested Ward and searched him, they found two more steaks stuffed in the front of his pants. Next story, John.
Is that a steak in your pants?
Next and last story, John. Did you say Jesus was harmless?
Yeah.
No, I said he needs a hand. Make that two. Lima police are searching for the owner of a 4.5-foot wooden statue of Jesus that was found at a reservoir in western Ohio.
He can whistle through
police
his palm.
Police say the statue likely belongs to a church and they want it returned. The hand-carved statue is in good condition, but it's missing its hands. The Cleveland-based company that specializes in Jesus statues says it could be worth as much as $4,000. Police say churches normally don't report thefts because they don't want to bring negative attention to their church. The statue was found on October 11th at the Bresler Reservoir.
Wow.
And I have a headline here, but I forgot the story. We could end with that if you'd like.
That'd be great.
Have you recently been muff diving, or is that excessive hair growth on your tongue? Boy, I wish I brought the rest of that story.
It's not hair, it's flies.
And that's the news.
All right. Thanks, Phil, again for coming all this way.
Thank you, John.
From Joliet.
Thank you, Scott.
And that's a long drive, isn't it?
It is a long drive, but when they do have the Nobodies get the Midwest podcasters together, I'll be much closer.
Excellent.
To the Quad Cities than you gentlemen will be.
Yeah. Can we stay at your place, crash at your place?
I'd have to run that by my mom. First, if it's all right with her, it's okay with me.
All right. Well, see you later, man.
All right, then.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, then.
Okay. So take it easy.
Yes, all right. Do that.
All right. Yeah. Bye-bye now. Okay.
Hey,
all right, Phil. Kicking ass.
Excellent.
Again.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Laughing at Phil.
You need to mute my mic. He's serious. Because he's a serious journalist.
He should mute my mic because I can't control myself.
All right. Well, that's all the time we got this week. So
72 part 3 wraps up, John.
And we're going to have a whole week to put some shit together. So we might have some stuff for next week.
Nice.
I hope.
Yeah.
All right. We're out of here.
Later.
We're Jizz and Skizz. Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.